class tonight, from what I understand. So I decided to just get going, if that's okay with all you folks. No, Roger is here. Roger's here. Okay, can everybody hear me? Can everybody hear me okay? Yeah, we got her. We got her, Chip. Okay, real good. It's really an honor and a privilege to be here tonight with you folks, and I really mean that. There's no doubt about that. Personally, I came from nothing, and the Lord has made me who and what I am. And without him, I'm nothing. And so I'm glad I realized that. And so to be around like-minded believers and our calling is a real privilege for me. And I say that wholeheartedly. I would like to pray for a minute. Our dear Heavenly Father, we pray that your power through the Holy Spirit, through God, the Holy Spirit, would be upon us tonight as we endeavor in your original language of your New Testament scriptures, which you saw fit for us to have in complete form in the year in which we live, which in itself is a miracle that we would have your completed scriptures, a blessing that we probably for the most part don't even understand how great of a gift that is. This Word of God is more precious than anything on the planet. We do know that it's inspired, and it is discerned by the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. And we pray for your blessing tonight, that in endeavoring in the Koine Greek, that we might be able to endeavor more deeply into your precious Word. I believe that this is all within all of our hearts and minds, those who are called to the right hand of God in the Son via the dispensation of the mystery, the church which is the fullness of the Son of God, the Creator Himself. And we just pray for your blessing and that our minds might soak up the Koine Scriptures because we know that you would delight in that. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay, tonight what we're going to do is, for the next hour or so, we're going to talk about Tony and what kind of person he is. Well, we'll put that one aside, and I'm going to say to you that I'm going to find out what kind of text you have, because we're going to be working out of actually four texts tonight. You should have the the text, the Greek text by Dr. Black, the little one. You should have the analytical lexicon by the Freibergs. Very importantly, I hope that you have the analytical Greek New Testament by the Freibergs. And then I hope that you have in front of you the interlinear by Dr. Green. Do all of you seem to have that tonight? Okay, well, do all of you have the analytical Greek New Testament? Okay, most of them. All right. Because all of these are, we're going to look into them. And tonight what we're going to do is we're going to concentrate on one of the tenses tonight. We're going to concentrate on the aorist tense. And because the last lesson we looked into the tenses, there was seven tenses in the Koine Greek. We're studying the verb we're studying Koine Greek verb forms, and we noticed from last time that if you look in the text, in the small text of Dr. Black, we know that on page 12 that verbs have mood, they have number and they have person, they have voice and they have tent, and then we'll see later that they all also have case. And so to understand the working of especially the Koine Greek verb system, you have to understand that these verbs and the Holy Spirit use these verbs, and we have to understand how they're used. Notice that if you turn to the text on page 14, turn there now. This is in the small, what I'm going to call the text on page 14. You're going to notice that, of course, the tense is there. You have the present tense, future tense, imperfect tense, aorist tense, perfect tense, pluperfect tense, future perfect tense. We went over this. And what we learned is a little bit last time. If you turn to page 77 in the text, turn there. We read this last time. And it's important. It's important. You look on the top of the page, on page 77 of the text. And Dr. Black states this: the pluperfect tense is seldom used in the New Testament, in the Koine Greek Testament. And the future perfect tense is even rarer. And I would say that the future perfect tense is just almost non-existent. And so it says here, the future perfect expresses perfective aspect in future time, etc. So in reading that, what I decided to do is we're going to eliminate the future perfect tense, going back to page 14. Go back there. You'll notice that the two tenses at the bottom, the future perfect tense and the pluperfect tense, they're used so seldomly or not at all in the New Testament that I'm going to eliminate them from our study. And so we're going to concentrate on the present tense, the future tense, the imperfect tense, the aorist tense, and the perfect tense. Okay, does that make sense to you? All right, thanks very much. And now what I want is you look over at page 15 of the text, and in sub-lesson 16, it says the significance of tense or aspect for reading Koine Greek. And we're going to just read this, okay? I think it's a good idea to read this. Even in the early stages of learning, it is important to become aware of both the importance and function of aspect in the Greek verb system. Well, you know, if aspect is something that is, what is the word for it? It's something that isn't totally agreed on by the so-called experts, and it's something that will be looked, it should be looked into. You're solid in the basic things of the Koine, and so I know that to be true. And so, even though it's important, the tenses are what we're going to concentrate on, and they're the bedrock, or one of the bedrocks of the Koine Greek verb system. Unlike English, it states, the most significant feature of tense in the Koine Greek is kind of action. A second consideration of tense, and one that applies only in the indicative mood, is time of action. Oh, okay, so we have action, and we have time of action. Try to let that settle into your mind as far as the tenses are concerned. The kind of action and the time of action. whether it is representative as ongoing, finished, or simply as an occurrence. And this is really important. Good to concentrate on what we're reading here. Hence, there are really only three tenses in the Koine Greek, as in English: the past, present, and future. The other tenses are, in fact, merely alternative uses of these three tenses in conjunction with three aspects. Well, that's something that I don't want to confuse everybody with right now. So just remember that, as in English, there's past, present, and future, and then there's subsections of past, present, and future in the Koine Greek verb tense system. In summary, then, tense in the Koine Greek is determined by writer's portrayal of the action with regard to aspect and to time. This is to cover the fact that two different authors may write the action of the same event differently. That's interesting. He goes on to explain, for instance, and this is found in what is called the Synoptic Gospels. For instance, Matthew writes that Jesus gave endoken in the aorist indicative, the loaves to the disciples in Matthew 14:19. We won't go there. While Mark writes that Jesus kept giving endido in the imperfect indicative, them out. Okay, that's interesting. Mark writes that, Matthew wrote of the same event in the aorist tense, and Mark apparently wrote of the same event in the imperfect tense. That's interesting, isn't it? Here, Matthew focuses on the bare idea of the action, while Mark emphasizes its continuance, implying that the miracle took place in the very hands of the Son of God. Even the same writer may portray the same action differently in different contexts. Paul, for example, uses the aorist participle in reference to the resurrection of Christ when viewing it as a simple event, and the perfect participle when emphasizing the state of Christ's risenness in 2 Timothy 2:8. Hence, the big issue with regard to tense is always the question of how much or how little the writer wishes to say about the kind of action involved. All right, so I would recommend that, you know, just in that couple of paragraphs there is a lot of wealth of knowledge there. You know, we can read over these, and we can, you know, take it for one. I've studied for years. I don't have a photographic memory. But I do know there are times where I just look at things, read them over, and while I'm reading them, I know them, and then 10 minutes later, I have no idea what I read. I mean, that's the human brain, you know. And so I think that it's very important to get these principles down. And so if you could read just subsection 16 there, sub-lesson 16, and know it cold, you'd know a nice bit of knowledge. All right? And so what we're going to do is we're going to look back to these tenses on page 14, right? And so we're going to concentrate on the present tense, future tense, imperfect tense, aorist tense, and perfect tenses. as we move on in our studies. And the example here, just so that, again, that we understand these tenses and how they come across in the verbiage, is the present tense is I love. The future tense in the Koine is I will love. That makes sense. The imperfect tense, which you should get corrected in your mind, situated in your mind, was I was loving. All right, so I have I love, present, I will love, or whatever, in the future, that's easy. I was loving. That's the imperfect tense. That's something that might be a little irregular to us, but it's something to kind of get in your brain, you know. Imperfect, I was. Imperfect, I was. Imperfect, I was. Like that. The aorist tense is what we're going to concentrate a little bit on tonight, is I loved. All right? It wasn't I will love. It wasn't that you were loving. It wasn't that I was loving. It was like, that's interesting. And then the perfect tense is I have loved. Now, if you look these over, you could say, well, that's easy. Well, then I could say, shut your book and write down what they are immediately right now. And maybe you might get two right. Maybe you might get three right. Maybe you might get all right, you know, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So it's good to get these tenses, even though you can read them and it seems easy. When you walk into the other room and have your sandwich, like if I came in and tested you, would you all be able to tell me an example of the present, future, imperfect, aorist, and perfect tenses? Okay? And so you have to be able to regurgitate this out of your mind like it was your birth date or your telephone number, like that. And you can do it. Don't say you can't, because you can. So we move on, and we are, we are more than conquerors in Christ, and we will not take the idea that, we cannot learn this. That's, that's defeatist, and, that doesn't apply here. All right, so then now we want to turn to your Koine Greek analytical lexicon, all right? What the heck? We want to turn to the Koine Greek analytical lexicon, and we want to turn to the VAC, and we want to look at the definition of the aorist tense. Thank the Lord for that. Of the aorist tense, all right? So you look in your lexicon. Does everybody have your lexicon? And you look back in your lexicon on page 431. Look in your lexicon on page 431, and you'll find... Yeah, really. And you'll find the definition of the aorist tense. And there's a reason why we're going to concentrate a bit tonight on this aorist tense. And the fact of the matter is that in our calling, God, the Holy Spirit, uses the aorist tense in verbs describing what the Father has done for us over and over and over again. Let me repeat that. God the Holy Spirit, in our calling of the mystery, has used verbs in the aorist tense to describe what the Father has done for us over and over in this. Believe me, it's a beautiful thing. And so, we don't have to have a PhD in the Koine Greek to really get some tremendous blessing out of it. You should get some tremendous blessing out of what we're going to talk about tonight, knowing this. And that's why I'm concentrating tonight on the aorist tense, and I will in the future a bit, because it's one tense that's extremely important to our calling of the dispensation of the mystery. On page 31 in the lexicon, it states that the aorist tense is a set of verb forms that indicate that an action in the verb has been completed without implying continuous or duration of action. When used in historical contexts, the aorist tense indicates an action completed in past time. Example, the people built a harbor where the river flows into the sea. Now, if you can think about this again, the aorist tense is a set of verb forms that in which the action of the verb has been completed. This should get our minds rolling as to our calling, right? When were we called? When were we foreordained? When were we in the mind of God? When did these things happen? Right, and so when the Lord, you'll find out that when our dear Heavenly Father chose us, blessed us, foreordained us, it was in the aorist tense. It was what's called in the vernacular a done deal. It's done, and it's done forever. Okay, and there are really no words that I can communicate to you as saints. You are going to have to realize this on your own, walking around as you do, being saints of God in 2015, chosen to the mystery. This, in fact, is what the Father has done for you. And so, no matter what the temptation, no matter what you go through, no matter what the trial is, what the Father has done for you in many aspects that we'll see is a done deal. And see, how do we strength? We do not gather strength from ourselves. I know that. I am being taught that I have no strength within myself. And I cannot produce the faith that I need, except that it is done through the Holy Spirit, and that I realize that the Son of God is the author of my faith. And so I can also state that if I hate of my faith, that I'm a mess. Alright? I can state that because I've been through it. If I lose sight of my faith and my calling and what the Father has done for me through the Son, I'm messed up. I messed up as I walk the planet. Will He ever take the things away from me that He's bestowed on me? Never. But the fact of the matter is my walk and my enemy will have victories. The enemy will have victories over me as I live on the planet if, in fact, I choose to avoid acknowledging what the Almighty has done for us, because in fact this is who we are. In reality, this is who we are. And so we walk by faith and not by sight. And we can repeat those words, but actually knowing it and living it is another story. And I'm a kingpin example in my brain of what I'm talking about. And so, I'm not talking at you, I'm talking at me. Alright, so I know this. I can say this, and I've said this before, I don't really mind admitting things because, I do know that if I'm proud enough to not admit these things, I'm an idiot. Okay, and then I don't know anything at all. So, pride has been burnt out of me, which is, I still have some pride in the flesh, and you know, that's my problem. But whatever. So let us go on now, and we're going to look at some verb form in Ephesians in the aorist tense. And what is the aorist tense again? It's a set of verb forms in which dictate that the action has been completed. Completed in the past, if you want to put it in time, and it is a done deal. It's something that was done and completed forever. All right, and so if we look back on page, if we look at the tenses on page 14, the example of love in the aorist tense is I loved. I loved. And can you, I loved, and you could say, well, that was probably done in the past if I loved. And so, if you loved in the past, that doesn't change as you move through time. It's something you loved, and you loved it, and you loved it forever. It doesn't change through time. It doesn't dictate that you will do something. It doesn't dictate that you were doing something, have to do something, or was, or were doing something. It's something you did, and it's done. Does that make sense to you? All right. So we can transfer the fact of that over into the scripture. So now what I want you to do is we're going to learn a little bit of how to use the AGNT, the Analytical Greek New Testament. All right? And I don't know if all of you have this, but you all should get it because it's really important. It's not nearly important in this class as it is important for you to have if you're the only one left on earth of the mystery for you to study the scriptures. All right, so don't get this AGNT for this class alone. Get it for yourself because it's one book that you really should have, in my opinion. But you know, if nothing else, we can, if you got the Green's Interlinear, you can open that up to Ephesians 1, all right? And what I'm going to do is, you know, for the next half an hour or so, is I'm just going to go over a few five Koine Greek verb forms in the aorist tense that God the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to say this, that the Holy Spirit is God. You know, I particularly forget in some senses to realize that the Holy Spirit is as much God as the Son or the Father, if you catch my meaning. God the Holy Spirit is God, just as much as the Son or the Father. If I'm wrong, you can say you're wrong. I don't mind. But I believe myself to be correct. And God, the Holy Spirit, wrote this Word of God through men. All right? So, it's interesting for us to try to maybe know the Holy Spirit, if that's possible. All right? Because we have a hold on the Son. No doubt. And we have a pretty decent hold on the Father and how He thinks and works, especially in our calling. Now the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, is kind of a interesting person. I'll put it like that. At least in my mind, He is. Alright? But He is the one that wrote the Scripture through the hand of mankind. And so, we're going to look at Ephesians 1. And so, Let's, in your analytical Greek New Testament, if you have it, turn to Ephesians. All right, which is on page 588 of your analytical Greek New Testament. And if you're using the, if all of you have is Green's Interlinear, it's on page 590. All right? Now, in the analytical Greek New Testament, you'll go to Ephesians 1:4. And we read the first two forms, kathos, exalexata. Can you see that? Kathos, exalexata. And in the interlinear, it has the same Greek, but we find that it states even as he chose us. Even as he chose us. All right? Do you see that? Very good. Who is he? Even as he chose us. And what I want to do is, what I'm attempting to do is I'm attempting to throw a bit of light on the will of the Father. Okay, so let me just back up and let me just say something interesting. Do you believe that this is the Word of Almighty God? Okay, if you believe that this is the Word of Almighty God, then this scripture is as real as anything that you know. It's as real as anything that I know. No matter what I feel, no matter what I think, isn't that true? And the process of that is through faith, right? I mean, seriously, we're talking about Almighty God and what He's done for us. And how do we know what He's done for us? Well, we read it in His inspired Word by God, Holy Spirit. All right, so what are we doing here? I mean, seriously, you could say, well, you know, what are you going over all this for? Because I believe, myself included, that we go through life and we might not have the kick in the butt that we need to understand what we have. Does that make sense to you? We might not understand what we have in Almighty God like we should. All right? I'm not saying that, Mike, you don't understand what you have in Almighty God like you should, walking around on the planet continuously. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I can admit that, and the reason why I admit such things is because I hope that it's helpful. Because, you know, to tell you the truth anymore, I'm fed up with the world and I'm fed up with myself. And so if I can be helpful anymore, I know what I have in the Lord, and if I can be helpful to anybody, that's what I'm doing, because I'm fed up with myself anymore. You know, I have conclusion, I'm sick of myself, so, and that's okay. I'm glad of that, and I can concentrate on who I am in the Lord, even though I still have problems in the flesh, which I always will have. But the point of it is that, you know, this is our Father telling us something. All right, so, we turn to page, going back to the lexicon. Go back to the lexicon because we're going to look up this verb form, exalexato. Exalexata actually is how it's pronounced. Pronounce that. Exalexata. It's not exalexito, it's exalexita. And the accent is on the third epsilon. Exalexita, that's how it's pronounced. We turn to page 154 in the lexicon to find out its meaning. And we turn there and we find exalexita in the middle of page 154 in the right-hand column, and we find that it doesn't have a meaning by itself, and that it comes from a root form. Do you see that? It comes from the root form eklego. Do you see that? This is very important in your studying. I'm telling you, you guys got to get this down, because if you're the only one left on the planet, you have to understand how this works. Exalexita doesn't have a meaning by itself. It is under a root form, which is eklego. And so we turn to page 28 in your lexicon. Turn to page 138. Hold on. There it is. Eklego is on page 138 in the left-hand column. Eklego, do you see that? And it means this: to choose out. Think about it. To select for oneself. To choose out from among a number, and I'll add, of believers. So, when we look at Ephesians 1:4, and we run into exalexita, we find out that Almighty God the Father, once and for all, chose you out for Himself from among a number of believers. Done. Deal. Did you get it? Done. Deal. Do you understand? Alright, you got it. It's a done deal. Oh, what has God done for me? God Almighty, the Father, through the Son, has selected me out for Himself from among a number of other believers. It is a done deal. Moving on. Alright, this is the impact of the aorist tense verbs in our calling. Does that catch your mind and heart? Alright? Alright, we move on. And there are plenty of these verbs in our calling. This is what I pray that all of you take within your minds and your hearts about who you are to the Father. No matter what you face, no matter the trial. Alright? A servant is not greater than his or her master. Correct? Alright, so we move on in the analytical Greek New Testament, and we look at Ephesians 1:5, and we are immediately confronted with the verb form pa arisas. That's not pro recess. It's pa arisas. That's how it's pronounced. Pa arisas. That's how it's pronounced. Pa arisas. And what I want you to understand also is you look under that form and you see a number of letters, right? Do you see that? That is called a grammatical tag. It says VPAANM-S. Do you see that? All right. In order to understand that tag, no. Okay. Chan, do you have the Analytical Greek New Testament? It should be a brown book. No, okay. Well, that's the reason why you're not following this exactly. And so, what I will do is I'm going to take all the names of the people that do not have the Analytical Greek New Testament, and I'll get you one. I'll try to find one for you, because it's really important to have this, all right? And so, we'll dispense with the grammatical tags, but at least you have the interlinear, and you can look at Ephesians 1:5, and you can see, Ta'arisas, Hemas, predestinating us, right? Ta'arisas, predestinating us. So far, our dear have chose us out for himself from among a number of believers, and now we are Ta'arisas. If we turn to page 330 in your lexicon, let's do this. 330 in your lexicon, your dictionary, your Greek dictionary, page 330. Let's find out what else our dear Heavenly Father has done for us and expects us to know. Praarisas. We find Praarisas on the bottom of page 330 in the left-hand column, and we find that it doesn't have a definition by itself, but it comes from the root word Praarizo. Do you see that? Praarizo. Do you see that? Yes. And you go up just a little bit, and you find out Praarizo means to decide on beforehand, to determine in advance. So here we go. And hey, you know what? It's a done deal. That's what I want to hammer into your minds, that our dear Heavenly Father chose us out for himself from among a number of believers in advance, beforehand, and it's all a done deal forever. Moving on, do you get the drift of what's happening here? Do you get the drift of what the Koine can unfold for you? All right, moving on. And I have three more to go, all right? But I'm going to continue this as we go on. And I want to stress the aorist tense used by God, the Holy Spirit, to enlighten our hearts and minds as to what our dear Heavenly Father has done for us forever through the Son. You know, and that is a fact, or else I'm going to state this. These scriptures are a lie. It's either a fact, or these scriptures are, Paul say about what some people say, a bunch of cunning fables, right? So that's why I ask the question, do you believe that this is the Word of God Almighty? Because you have to believe that, for one. And for two, if it is, then what we're learning tonight is as much a fact as anything that we can see or breathe or feel or anything. I mean, really. Okay, so all done through the operation of faith. You got it. All right, so. And faith is an interesting thing, isn't it? I'll just say that. Faith is an interesting thing because, you know, you can't convince anybody of truths of the Lord if they don't have faith. You can't describe something of the Lord so that a human brain can understand it in human terms on a worldly platform, can you? Alright, so, through the operation of faith, we understand these things. And what pleases our dear Heavenly Father? Well, faith. Because in order to understand Him, you have to believe that He is, right? And that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Now, can a human brain understand that? Well, a human brain does not seek after the Lord, because the human brain doesn't need the Lord. But once you know the Lord, you seek after Him, and what's unfolded to you is mind-boggling. And see, I can say this in a sense, Almighty God is the ultimate genius. He is. He is the ultimate genius. He just really is. Even in how He has worked His Word and how things are hidden and how things are unfolded, He's just the ultimate in geniusness. He just is. And so, let's turn to three more of these aorist tense verbs. And I just, I've mentioned it enough, but I want you to, it's my prayer that the impact of these verbs in the aorist tense would impact your heart. We turn to Ephesians 1:6, and towards the end of the verse, we have a Koine Greek verb, ekaritosen. 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 And if you look at your interlinear in Ephesians 1:6, you'll find it, and it says underneath it, with which He favored us. Ekaritosen. Alright. Turn to page 183 in your lexicon. Alright, and so, what are we doing this for, you could say? Well, what we're doing together tonight is studying the Word of God. That's what we're doing. Whether we understand that or not, that's what we're doing. We're looking at the Koine Greek. We're using the Koine Greek lexicon. We're finding out what kind of form, verb, noun, adjective, that we're looking at. And we're understanding it from Almighty God's perspective. That's what we're doing. And so, you should be learning how to use these tools to do this all by yourself. You know? Because, you know, you have to, like Paul, you have to be ready to be rejected. You have to be ready to by yourself. You know, that's a fact. Coming down the line, we don't know what's going to happen to us, right? And so we have to learn how to do things, with the help of Almighty God, but we have to be able to stand alone. That's part of who the Lord was. That's part of the truth of God. That's part of what Paul experienced. That's part of how the world accepted the mystery at the end of Paul's life. You know, and we're not immune to any of that. And so, I know that you guys know what I'm talking about. And so, we go on from there. I don't know. Maybe I'll get to one or maybe two more of these. Ekaritosen. We turn to page 183 for ekaritosen. We know that this is a verb. in the aorist tense. Okay, and we notice that it's another aorist verb in just a few passages of our calling. Okay, we turn to page 183 in the lexicon, and we find ekaritosen in the right-hand column, but we find that it does not have its own meaning, but it is under the root form karitao. Do you see that? Karitao. So we have to look up karitao, which is on page 407. In your lexicon. Turn to page 407. Karitao. Karitao is on page 407 in the right-hand column towards the bottom. Karitao. To highly favor. To show kindness to. To bless somebody. As in reference to divine grace. So according to divine grace, our dear Heavenly Father has highly favored us. He has chosen us out for Himself. He has chosen us out from a number of believers. And He determined this all beforehand, and it is a done deal. Forever. Turning to the next form, and I think I'll go over one more. And I think you're starting to get the impact of what we're doing here. Alright? We've just gone through three aorist tense verbs in our calling. And we're understanding what God Almighty the Father wants us to understand about what He has done for us through His Son, a done deal. That's why the aorist tense in our calling is so very important. I think that's made plain. And prayer is that this would hit you like a bulldozer, like a ton of bricks. Whammo! This is reality. Doesn't matter how you feel, doesn't matter what the trial is, this is reality for us. Alright, we're going to turn to one last one. And I'm going to come back to this. I'm going to come back to this a bit. And I'm going to make sure that we understand the aorist tense before moving on, but rather than get too locked up in the mechanics of the Koine, I believe that it's important for us to glean blessing and joy from the Koine while we can as we move on. Because we don't know where we're going to be tomorrow. And so my thought is, hey, let's get some true joy and truth as we move ahead. And so our last Koine Greek verb in the aorist tense tonight is found in Ephesians 1:8. And it is the Koine Greek eparisosen. Eparisosen, that's found in Ephesians 1:8, if you look in your interlinear. Ephesians 1:8. Eparisosen, and what it means is He caused to abound to us, and it goes on to further say, in all wisdom and discretion, or intelligence, making known to us, and that's another Koine Greek verb form in the aorist tense, making known to us the secret of His will. Hey, get that in your brain. Our dear Heavenly Father has made known to us, done deal, a secret of His will done forever. Think about it. I mean, really. Really think about it. Think about what for you, in the very core of your being, this should be hammering you. The very core of your being, that faith that operates within your hearts and minds, it should be slamming home. Slamming home in power. That's the power of the Lord. Alright, so, we look at eparisosin, and we look on in the lexicon on page 161. 161, we have a few minutes left. And I believe that this is a good way to study. Certainly, using this manner of study will bring forth some mighty jewels in the Scriptures. There's no doubt about that. No doubt. We find a form, verb form, eparisosin, in the upper left-hand column of page 161. We find again that this doesn't have an immediate definition, but we look and we find that it's under the root form perisuol. Perisuol. And so we look under that root form on page 310. See, this is giving you an idea of how to study. Not saying that you don't know, but that's what this is all about. So we look into the lexicon on page 310, and we look under perisuol, which is on page 310 in the left-hand column on the bottom. And we find that our dear Heavenly Father is pre-us the knowledge of the secret of His will in abundance, surpassing. That is to say that He has done these things in abundance, more than enough, with extremely rich abundance. Okay, so looking back at what we have learned about the aorist tense, about our dear Heavenly Father, just in 8 verses of Ephesians 1. He chose us out for Himself. He chose us out for Himself among believers, from among believers. He decided this beforehand. He decided that He was going to show high favor, and that He was going to divinely bless us. He decided that He was going to give this knowledge to us in extremely rich abundance, and that this was all done once and forever. And so, I hope that this blessed you, I would say, and that this helps us understand the true reality of what our dear Heavenly Father, through the blood of the Son, via the witness of God the Holy Spirit, is doing, and how He is working in us, all right, in 2015, while the world goes mad around us, nevertheless, He is doing this in us. He has promised these things in us through His Son, witnessed by the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures, and these things are a done deal. And so I thank you for the time that you spent here tonight. I know this, no matter how goofy I am in the flesh myself, this is what I tell myself. This is what I say to myself. No matter how goofy in the flesh I am, no matter what the trials are, no matter how screwy and evil this world is, This is reality. This is something, these promises are things that are an anchor in the rock. These are the promises, and these are the realities that our dear Heavenly Father wants us to richly, right? What does the scripture say? Let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. And I'm a failure at that sometimes, because when it attacks us, and if we don't have the Word of God dwelling in us richly, we cannot defend His attacks properly. That's a fact. I know that to be true. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Right? And so I thank you guys tonight. And it's a pleasure and an honor being here. And I know every one of you. And I love you. And I hope that this helped you. And then we're going to have to take a roll call of the folks that do not have the analytical Greek New Testament, okay?